Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd greatly appreciate it if you could follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments go a long way in helping us share our stories with a wider audience, so please take a moment to leave your feedback. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm inspire us to keep creating gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Collector, a story you won't want to miss. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1. Antiques and Anomalies. The antique shop sat at the corner of Ashwick and Main, its weathered sign reading Timeless Treasures. The storefront was cluttered with relics of the past: grandfather clocks, porcelain figurines, and a dusty gramophone that crooned faintly as passers-by wandered in. Edwin Graves, the shop's proprietor, greeted each visitor with a warm smile, his genteel demeanor disarming even the most skeptical customers. Claire Prescott stood across the street, notebook in hand, watching as Edwin unlocked the shop that morning. She had read about him in the local newspaper, a piece lauding his dedication to preserving history through antiques. But Claire wasn't here for nostalgia. Her focus was on a series of missing persons cases that had left the town unsettled. The most recent victim, a schoolteacher named Helena Drayton, had vanished without a trace 3 weeks ago. Something about Edwin's shop had drawn Claire here. She didn't believe in coincidences. Inside, the shop was a maze of narrow aisles lined with curiosities. Edwin was behind the counter, polishing a brass candlestick with meticulous care. "Good morning," he said as Claire entered. His voice was smooth, with a hint of an accent she couldn't place. "Looking for anything special?" Claire smiled politely. "Just browsing." She wandered the aisles, pretending to admire the merchandise while her eyes scanned for anything unusual. The air smelled faintly of old wood and varnish, a scent that reminded her of her grandmother's attic. Her gaze landed on a display case at the back of the shop, where a collection of lockets was arranged. One in particular caught her eye: a silver piece engraved with the initials HD. "Beautiful, isn't it?" Edwin's voice startled her. He had moved silently to her side. "That one arrived not too long ago. A true gem." Claire forced a smile. "It's lovely. Do you know where it came from?" Edwin hesitated for the briefest moment before replying, "An estate sale. The family didn't want it anymore." He picked up the locket, his fingers caressing the intricate engraving. "It's fascinating, isn't it? How objects carry the weight of memory." Claire nodded, her heart racing. Helena Drayton. Could this really belong to her? "I'll think about it," she said, stepping away. Back at her desk later that evening, Claire examined the photos she had taken of the locket. The engraving was unmistakable, but it was the tiny hinge on its side that intrigued her. It wasn't just decorative, it was a compartment. She carefully pried it open with a paperclip, revealing a folded scrap of paper tucked inside. Unfolding it, Claire read the words scrawled in trembling handwriting: "He's watching." Chapter 2. The Vanishing Act. Claire couldn't shake the chill that crept over her as she reread the note. "He's watching." It felt like the locket was screaming at her to dig deeper. She needed answers about Helena Drayton, about the locket, and most of all about Edwin Graves. Something was off about him, and the journalist in her wasn't about to let it go. She spent the next morning poring over missing persons reports. Helena Drayton was one of three people who had disappeared in the last 6 months, all within a 20-mile radius of Ashwick. Claire noticed an unsettling pattern. Each case seemed to have a tenuous connection to timeless treasures. The first victim, a mechanic named James Laird, had sold a vintage pocket watch to Edwin just weeks before vanishing. The second, a retired nurse named Margot Dempsey, had been spotted browsing the shop days before she disappeared. And now Helena. Her next stop was Helena's sister, Julia Drayton. Julia lived on the outskirts of town in a modest bungalow. The grief was etched into her face as she greeted Claire at the door. I don't know how much help I can be, Julia said, clutching a steaming mug of tea as they sat in the small living room. The police haven't found anything. It's like Helena just vanished. Claire hesitated, unsure how much to reveal. I came across something in Edwin Graves' shop that might have belonged to her. A silver locket with her initials. Julia's eyes widened. Helena always wore that locket. It was our mother's. Her hands trembled as she set the mug down. Why would it be there? How did he get it? I'm not sure, Claire admitted. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Did Helena ever mention Edwin or his shop? Julia frowned in thought. No, but she did bring home this antique clock a few weeks before she disappeared. Said she got it for a good deal at some shop in town. Now that you mention it, it might have been his. Claire made a mental note to look for the clock. I'll keep digging. If I find anything, I'll let you know. Julia nodded, her eyes filling with tears. Please. I just want my sister back. Back at Timeless Treasures, Claire wandered the aisles again, this time looking for a clock. Edwin greeted her with the same warm smile, but Claire noticed something new, a glint of wariness in his eyes. Did he suspect her intentions? Couldn't stay away. He joked as she feigned interest in a row of vintage cameras. It's such a fascinating place, she replied, trying to sound casual. I feel like every time I'm here I find something new. She worked her way toward the back of the shop, scanning for anything that might match Julia's description. Her heart skipped a beat when she saw it, a wooden clock with brass details, sitting on a shelf behind the counter. Was this Helena's? Beautiful, isn't it? Edwin's voice startled her again. He was like a shadow, always appearing silently. That piece has quite the history. Really? Claire said, feigning interest. Do you know where it came from? Oh, I can't recall, Edwin said with an airy chuckle. I've had it for a while. Claire's instincts told her he was lying. Would you mind if I take a closer look? Edwin hesitated, his fingers drumming lightly on the counter. I'm afraid it's not for sale. Sentimental value. Claire felt the weight of his gaze on her, as though he were measuring her intentions. She forced a smile. Course. I understand. Later that night, Claire did what she knew she shouldn't. She broke into the shop. The streets of Ashwick were eerily quiet as she slipped through the side alley, her heart pounding in her chest. Using a lock-picking kit she'd practiced with during a summer internship, she managed to slip inside. The shop was even more unnerving at night. Shadows stretched across the walls, and the faint ticking of clocks seemed louder in the stillness. Claire crept toward the counter, careful to avoid the creaky floorboards she'd memorized from her previous visits. She found the clock easily enough, its polished brass gleaming faintly in the moonlight. As she inspected it, her fingers grazed something odd, a hidden compartment on the back. She pried it open, revealing a folded piece of paper. Her breath caught as she read the words scrawled across it. You shouldn't have come back. The sound of footsteps behind her froze her in place. Slowly she turned, her blood running cold as she saw Edwin standing in the doorway. His silhouette backlit by the faint glow of the street lamp. I didn't think you'd be so bold, he said, his voice devoid of its usual warmth. Curiosity is such a dangerous thing. Chapter 3. The Prized Collection. Claire's pulse thundered in her ears as she faced Edwin. His usual polite demeanor was gone, replaced by a cold, calculated expression that made her stomach churn. I was just, she stammered, clutching the clock against her chest as if it could shield her. Spare me the excuses, Edwin interrupted, his voice eerily calm. He stepped into the room, the door clicking shut behind him. Breaking and entering is quite the offense, Miss Prescott. Claire forced herself to stand her ground. And what about the missing people? Helena Drayton. James Laird. Margot Dempsey. What did you do to them, Edwin? His lips curled into a faint smile, but there was no humor in his eyes. You seem to have a vivid imagination. Those people have nothing to do with me. Then why do you have this? Claire demanded, holding up the clock. Helena's locket, too. These aren't coincidences. Edwin's gaze flickered to the clock, his expression darkening. You really shouldn't be meddling in things you don't understand. Before she could respond, the distant wail of a police siren shattered the tense silence. Claire seized the distraction, shoving past Edwin and bolting for the door. She didn't stop running until she reached her car, her hands trembling as she fumbled with the keys. The next morning, Claire sat in her cramped apartment, staring at the clock and the note she'd found inside. Edwin's reaction only confirmed her suspicions, but she had no hard evidence to go to the police. She needed more. Determined, Claire returned to the shop during daylight hours, hoping Edwin's facade would hold long enough for her to gather clues. To her surprise, the shop was closed, the blinds drawn tight. A handwritten sign on the door read, "Closed for inventory." Her phone buzzed in her pocket. It was Julia Drayton. "Claire," Julia said, her voice shaky, "I remembered something." Helena mentioned Edwin, but not by name. She called him the Collector. Claire's brow furrowed. The Collector. What did she mean by that? "I don't know," Julia admitted. But she said he had an odd obsession with keeping things. Personal things. She thought it was charming at first, but then it started to creep her out. The words sent a chill down Claire's spine. She thanked Julia and hung up, her mind racing. What kind of man collected personal items from the missing? And why? That evening, Claire decided to act. She couldn't risk another encounter with Edwin at the shop, so she waited until the streets were dark and quiet before slipping back inside. This time she was more prepared. She wore gloves and carried a small flashlight, careful to avoid making noise as she navigated the aisles. Her goal was the back room, a locked door she had noticed on her previous visits but never dared to investigate. The door was sturdy, but Claire had learned enough from her time as a journalist to pick simple locks. It took her a few tries, but eventually the lock clicked and the door creaked open. The room was a stark contrast to the rest of the shop. Where the main floor was cluttered with antiques, this space was meticulously organized. Rows of shelves lined the walls, each holding a collection of items in pristine condition. Claire's stomach turned as she realized what she was looking at. Each shelf was dedicated to a missing person. Helena Drayton's shelf held her locket, a photograph, and a small leather journal. James Laird's included his pocket watch, a set of keys, and a mechanic's rag. Margot Dempsey's shelf featured her wedding ring, a pair of reading glasses, and a faded postcard. Claire's flashlight beam trembled as she scanned the shelves. The room felt like a mausoleum, each item a relic of someone who had vanished without a trace. Her gaze fell on an empty shelf at the end of the room. A small brass plaque at its base read, "Reserved." "What are you doing in here?" The voice made her drop the flashlight. She whirled around to see Edwin standing in the doorway, his face obscured by shadow. "You really can't help yourself, can you?" he said, stepping into the room. Claire backed away, her heart pounding. "What is this, Edwin? Why do you have their things?" "They're not just things," he said, his voice soft but menacing. "They're pieces of their lives. Memories. Stories. Preserved forever." "Preserved." Claire's voice cracked. "You took them, didn't you?" "Enough." Edwin's voice rose, sharp and commanding. "You think you know the truth, but you don't. You don't understand what it means to truly preserve something." Claire tried to edge toward the door, but Edwin was faster. He grabbed her wrist, his grip iron tight. "You shouldn't have come here," he said, his voice low and icy. "Now you've seen too much." Chapter 4. A Web of Lies. Claire's mind raced as Edwin's grip tightened around her wrist. His cold, unwavering gaze bore into her, and for the first time, she felt the full weight of her reckless investigation. The room, with its eerie collection of personal artifacts, seemed to close in around her. "You have no idea what you've stumbled into," Edwin said softly, his tone more chilling than a shout. "But you've made it this far. Perhaps it's time you learn the truth." He released her wrist, stepping back toward the door. "Leave the room. Now." Claire hesitated. Every fiber of her being screamed at her to run, but the faint glimmer of curiosity and determination kept her rooted. She couldn't back down now, not when she was so close. "Go!" Edwin barked, his calm demeanor cracking. Claire flinched and obeyed, backing into the main area of the shop. Once outside, Edwin locked the door behind him and pocketed the key. His movements were deliberate, almost ritualistic, as if sealing a sacred chamber. "You think I'm a monster," he began, pacing slowly. "But everything I do is for preservation. People take life for granted, Miss Prescott. They discard their past, their memories, as if they hold no value. I collect what they leave behind. I keep their essence alive." Claire stared at him, her mind struggling to process his words. "You keep their essence alive. You're talking about people who've disappeared, Edwin. People who might be dead." Edwin's lips curled into a smile that didn't reach his eyes. "Might be dead. You're not wrong, but you're not entirely right either." Before Claire could press him further, the faint chime of a bell startled her. Someone had entered the shop. The man who stepped inside was tall, with a sharp jawline and piercing eyes that seemed to take in everything at once. He was dressed in a sleek trench coat, and Claire immediately pegged him as someone with authority, likely law enforcement. "Mr. Graves," the man said, his tone clipped and formal. "We need to talk." Edwin's mask of composure slipped for a fraction of a second before he nodded. "Course. How can I help you, Detective?" "Detective Marcus Lane." Claire had heard his name whispered among her contacts, an investigator known for solving difficult cases. She felt a surge of hope but quickly suppressed it, reminding herself that Edwin was a master manipulator. Would Marcus see through him? "I have some questions about your collection," Marcus said, his eyes darting briefly to Claire. "And your connection to several missing persons." Edwin raised an eyebrow, feigning surprise. "My collection. It's nothing more than antiques and keepsakes. I fail to see how that's relevant." "It's relevant," Marcus said sharply, pulling out a photograph of Helena Drayton. "She was last seen near your shop. And her family tells me you recently acquired a locket that belonged to her." Edwin's smile never wavered. "I purchase many items from estate sales and auctions, Detective. If that locket belonged to Miss Drayton, I had no idea." Claire couldn't stay silent any longer. "He's lying," she blurted out, stepping forward. "I saw her locket in his back room. He's keeping things, personal things, from the missing." Marcus turned to her, his expression unreadable. "Miss Prescott, is that true?" "Yes," Claire insisted. "And there's more. He has shelves, entire shelves, dedicated to them." Edwin chuckled, a sound so casual it sent a shiver down Claire's spine. "Miss Prescott has an active imagination, Detective. She's trespassed on my property more than once. I'm afraid she's mistaken my efforts to preserve history as something sinister." Marcus glanced between them, clearly weighing their words. Finally, he addressed Edwin. "We'll be conducting a thorough investigation. If you're innocent, you have nothing to worry about." "Of course," Edwin said smoothly. "I'll cooperate fully." Later, outside the shop, Marcus stopped Claire as she headed toward her car. "Miss Prescott," he said, his tone softer now, "I need you to be careful. If what you're saying is true, Edwin Graves isn't just dangerous. He's calculating. He'll cover his tracks, and he won't hesitate to protect himself." Claire nodded, swallowing the lump in her throat. "I can't just walk away from this. People are missing, and I think he knows exactly where they are." Marcus hesitated before handing her his card. "If you find anything concrete, call me. But don't confront him again. Let me handle it." As Marcus walked away, Claire's resolve hardened. She couldn't rely solely on the detective. Edwin's web of lies was too intricate, too deeply woven into the fabric of his life. If she wanted the truth, she'd have to risk everything to unravel it. That night, Claire's dreams were plagued by images of the collection room, each shelf a silent accusation. She woke with a start, A single thought burning in her mind. She had to go back. Chapter 5, The Collector's Game. The air inside Claire's apartment was suffocating. She sat at her desk, staring at the detective's card. Marcus Lane's warning echoed in her mind, but the gnawing feeling of unfinished business wouldn't let her rest. Edwin Graves wasn't just a collector of memories. He was hiding something far more sinister. If Marcus wouldn't act quickly, she would have to force the truth out into the light. The next day, Claire shadowed Edwin from a distance. He moved through the town with his usual calm precision, greeting shopkeepers and exchanging polite words with passersby. His routine seemed unremarkable until he took a turn onto a secluded side street. Claire followed cautiously, her breath hitching as he entered a storage facility surrounded by a tall chain-link fence. From her vantage point across the street, Claire watched him punch a code into the keypad and disappear inside. The facility was quiet, its long rows of units stretching into the distance like tombs. Claire made a mental note of the keypad and decided she needed to return after hours. That night, armed with gloves, a flashlight, and a lockpicking kit, Claire found herself standing in front of the storage facility. The keypad loomed before her, and she hesitated, her fingers hovering over the numbers. What if she was wrong? What if this was just another dead end? But she wasn't wrong, she couldn't be. Edwin's reaction in the collection room had been too visceral, too personal. Taking a deep breath, she entered the code she'd memorized earlier and slipped through the gate. The facility was eerily silent, her footsteps muffled by the gravel beneath her boots. She counted the rows carefully until she reached Edwin's unit. The padlock was hefty, but she had come prepared. After a few tense minutes of working with her tools, the lock popped open and she slid the door up. What she saw inside made her stomach churn. The unit was filled with rows of sealed crates and cabinets, each meticulously labeled with names and dates. A desk sat in the corner, its surface cluttered with notebooks and photographs. Claire stepped closer, her trembling fingers brushing over a stack of pictures. Each one was of a missing person, their smiles frozen in time. Some photos were candid, as if taken without their knowledge, while others appeared to be formal portraits. One notebook caught her attention. Opening it, she found detailed notes about each victim, where they had been, what they had said, and the exact moment Edwin had acquired their belongings. The notes were written in an elegant, almost obsessive script, each entry ending with the phrase, "Memory preserved." Claire's hands shook as she turned the pages. The most recent entry was about Helena Drayton. The description of her last known whereabouts matched Julia's account perfectly. The final line, however, chilled Claire to her core. "Reserved, await collection." Suddenly, the sound of gravel crunching outside the unit snapped her out of her trance. She froze, her flashlight trembling in her hand. Edwin's voice rang out, low and menacing. "You really don't know when to stop, do you?" Claire whipped around, her flashlight beam landing on Edwin. He stood just outside the unit, his silhouette framed by the dim glow of a nearby streetlight. His face was a mask of calm fury, and in his hand was something metallic, a crowbar. "You have no idea what you've done," Edwin said, stepping into the unit. "This isn't just a collection. It's a legacy." Claire backed away, bumping into the desk behind her. "You're sick. These are people's lives, Edwin. You can't just keep them like this." "They're more than lives," Edwin hissed. "They're stories. Stories that would have been forgotten. I'm preserving what the world discards." Claire's breath caught as he advanced, the crowbar glinting in the faint light. "You call this preservation? You're stealing their lives. You're taking them." Edwin smiled faintly. "And yet you're here. Intruding on something you can't possibly understand." Before she could respond, Edwin lunged. Claire dodged, her flashlight clattering to the ground as she scrambled out of the unit. The darkness pressed in around her, and her heart thundered in her chest as she ran toward the main gate. Behind her, Edwin gave chase, his footsteps relentless. "You can't run from this, Claire," he shouted. "You've seen too much. You are part of the collection now. She reached the gate, her fingers fumbling with the keypad. Adrenaline surged as she punched in the code, glancing back to see Edwin closing the distance. The gate buzzed and began to slide open just as Edwin reached her, grabbing her arm. Claire screamed, twisting free with a burst of strength she didn't know she had. She stumbled through the opening and didn't stop running until she reached her car. Breathless and trembling, she climbed inside and locked the doors. From the rearview mirror, she could see Edwin standing at the gate, his figure still and ominous. He didn't shout, didn't chase her further. He simply watched as she drove away, his expression unreadable. That night, Claire sat in her apartment, surrounded by the evidence she had taken from the unit. She knew this was far from over. Edwin wouldn't let her expose him without a fight. And as much as she wanted to hand everything over to Marcus, she feared it still wouldn't be enough. The game wasn't over. If anything, it had just begun. Chapter 6. The Final Piece. Claire's apartment felt like a war room. Photographs, notebooks, and evidence from Edwin's storage unit were spread across her desk. Her hands trembled as she flipped through the notebook again, its pages a macabre archive of Edwin's obsession. The police needed to see this. But Claire knew Edwin wouldn't give her the time to deliver it quietly. Her phone buzzed. It was Marcus Lane. "I got your message," Marcus said, his voice tinged with urgency. "This better be good." "It's more than good," Claire replied. "I have his notes, photographs, everything. Edwin's been documenting his victims, what he calls his collection. It's all here." "Where are you?" Marcus asked. "My apartment," she said, glancing at the clock. The line went dead. "Marcus," Claire said, but there was no response. She pulled the phone away and saw the call had dropped. Her chest tightened. Was it just a bad connection or something else? A knock at the door made her jump. She grabbed the closest object, a heavy flashlight, and crept toward the door. Peering through the peephole, she saw Marcus standing outside, his face grim. She exhaled in relief and opened the door. "Marcus, thank God," I thought. But Marcus stepped inside quickly, shutting the door behind him. His movements were hurried, almost panicked. "We don't have much time," he said. "Where's the evidence?" Claire gestured to the desk, and Marcus approached it, flipping through the materials. "This is enough," he muttered. "Enough to take him down." Before Claire could reply, her phone buzzed again. She glanced at the screen, and her blood ran cold. It was Marcus Lane. She looked up at the man in her apartment, her heart pounding. Who are you?" The man's lips curled into a smile. "You're sharper than I gave you credit for," he said, his voice shifting into a chillingly familiar tone. "Edwin," Claire whispered, stumbling back. Edwin's disguise was perfect, the trench coat, the mannerisms. He even carried Marcus's badge, which he tossed onto the desk with a smirk. "You've been busy, Miss Prescott," Edwin said, his eyes scanning the evidence with amusement. "But you've forgotten one important thing. I always stay ahead of the game. What did you do to Marcus?" Claire demanded, gripping the flashlight tighter. "Don't worry," Edwin said, waving a dismissive hand. "Your detective is alive, for now. He's simply delayed." Claire's mind raced. She needed to escape, but Edwin was blocking the only exit. "You won't get away with this," she said, trying to keep her voice steady. "I've already sent copies of the evidence to people I trust." Edwin's smile faltered for a moment, but he recovered quickly. "Lover. But that won't save you." He lunged at her, but Claire swung the flashlight with all her strength. It connected with his shoulder, making him stagger. She seized the moment to dart toward the desk, grabbing the notebook and a handful of photographs. Edwin recovered quickly, his movements eerily calm despite the chaos. "You can run, Claire," he said, his voice echoing as she bolted into the hallway. "But you can't hide. You're already part of the collection." Claire's feet pounded against the pavement as she ran into the night, clutching the evidence tightly. She didn't stop until she reached the police station. Inside, she collapsed onto a bench, gasping for breath. A uniformed officer approached her, concern etched across his face. "Ma'am, are you all right?" Claire shoved the notebook and photographs into his hands. "Get these to Detective Marcus Lane. It's about Edwin Graves. He's..." The officer raised a hand to calm her. "Low down. Marcus Lane is in the hospital. He was found unconscious an hour ago." Claire's heart sank. Edwin had gotten to him first. "I need to speak to someone," she said, her voice trembling. "Now." Within minutes, a team of officers was poring over the evidence Claire had provided. She recounted everything. Her investigation, the storage unit, and Edwin's attack in her apartment. The officers assured her they would issue an immediate warrant for Edwin's arrest. But Claire knew Edwin wouldn't wait around to be caught. The final confrontation came the following night. Claire returned to her apartment, the weight of exhaustion and fear pressing down on her. She locked every door and window, but the sense of vulnerability remained. The police promised protection, but no one was stationed outside. As she paced her living room, the lights flickered. A chill swept through the apartment, and then she heard it, the faint ticking of a clock. Her blood ran cold. The ticking grew louder, echoing in her ears. She turned, and there he was, Edwin, standing in the shadows of her living room, holding one of his prized clocks. "You've ruined everything," he said softly, setting the clock on the table. "But I'll forgive you. Because now, you'll be the final piece in my collection." Claire grabbed a knife from the kitchen counter. "Not tonight, Edwin." He smirked, stepping closer. "You're brave, I'll give you that. But bravery won't save you." Before he could lunge, the door burst open. Marcus, flanked by a team of officers, stormed in. "Edwin Graves, drop the weapon." Edwin's calm shattered. He turned to run, but there was nowhere to go. The officers tackled him to the ground, and he was finally subdued. As Edwin was led away in handcuffs, his eyes locked onto Claire's. "This isn't over," he hissed. "You'll never be free of me." But for the first time, Claire felt a sliver of hope. The evidence was in the hands of the authorities, and Edwin's reign of terror was over, for now. In the days that followed, the storage unit was dismantled, and the victims' belongings were returned to their families. Edwin's trial became a media spectacle. His calm demeanor unnerving even the most seasoned reporters. But Claire didn't care about the headlines. She had survived, and that was enough. As she sat in her apartment, staring at the now empty desk, she couldn't shake the lingering fear. Edwin's words echoed in her mind. "You're already part of the collection." She turned on the radio to drown out the silence, but a familiar sound filled the room instead. The faint, rhythmic ticking of a clock.